You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I will have a brief announcement at the end of tonight's show about a fireside chat, so please stay tuned towards the end if you like. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome a new guest to the show, Laura Walker. Laura hosts the immensely popular Daily Oracle Report at www.oraclereport.com, where she posts a daily energetic analysis. Her books are available for free download on her site. Her other site, mahavidyaproject.com, is dedicated to exploring the personal teachings of the Mahavidyas, wisdom goddesses of prehistoric India. Laura is the author of Eris, Archetype of Shadows, Crisis and Awakening at the Completion of the Mayan Calendar, which chronicles her journey through the desert to discover the nature of the planet which changed the solar system, and her other book, The Astrology of the Black Moon, Guide to Healing the Shadow Side, which reveals the powerful transits of the death and rebirth cycle governed by the planet the ancients call Tiamat. This was said to be the planet between Mars and Jupiter, whose shattered remains are now the asteroid belt. So let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Laura. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Well, you know, I'm one of your biggest fans of the Oracle Report, so it was just a thrill to be able to have you on the show.
Well, thanks. I'm glad you like it, and I hope people are finding it helpful because that's why I do it every day.
Well, you know, we're here to validate that and to give you a little plug because you deserve a lot of credit for the energy that goes into the wisdom that comes out of your report, and I know it's distilled upon many, many decades of research and experience. So we all thank you for that.
Oh, very kind of you.
Well, now, we're kind of in the middle of a interesting month in May, and I thought maybe we could start with the energies for this month, which includes two eclipses, one we just came out of, and the third of seven exact Pluto-Uranus conjunctions, which comes up on May 20th. Would you like to start there?
Sure, we could start there. The Pluto-Uranus aspects are definitely fueling the spread of freedom and the ideas about freedom. And it's part of, you know, the wider awakening that's happening. When I talk about astrology, I use astrology for a lot of different things, for spiritual growth, for understanding your purpose in life and direction. But it also is used, and the way I use it with the Oracle Report, is to help people navigate the energy every day, because the astrology for the day, the energy for the day, is based on scientific, psycho-spiritual, let's say, scientific principles that affect us on the electromagnetic levels. And the energy can be positive or it can be negative. And, you know, certainly there are forces that push that towards the negative. But if we understand what that particular code is for the day, what the astrology is for that day, what the negative aspect that might be pushed is, we can flip that around to the positive aspect and counter that energy. And so there's a lot of things happening with the Pluto-Uranus energy, but for the positive side of that is the movement towards freedom.
Mm-hmm. Some have said that this alignment, this exact conjunction, is a bookend to the alignments that occurred during the 1960s, which created the free love and rainbow movements. Is there
right? The aspect, it's in, the planets are in square, and it is definitely a carry forward of the 1960s. And
wow.
you can see that with the movement across the world. The Arab Spring, all of that is part of that Pluto Uranus, but. You know, most of that energy is being used to, give the appearance of a revival of the principles of the 60s, when in fact, a lot of that is controlled. There is that natural upwelling that's happening, but again, that what I was talking about, how it can be used for positive or for negative, we can see, how that's manipulated in world events and with the awakening and people learning about what's really happening.
From your perspective, who are the players or what are the forces that are doing the controlling and manipulating that we are largely unaware of or unconscious of at this time?
Well, I think that, when we talk about it, we can talk all around it, but when it comes to the bottom line of it, I hold to the writings that the Gnostics left us, and they, describe them and name them the Archons, and so that's the name that I use for them also. And when we, if we talk about this, that's really who we're talking about at the end of the day here.
Mm-hmm. And yes, I agree with you. That seems to be the most powerful and potent metaphor, if it's a metaphor. Because they operate in a sense, in a mind control sense, and they're also vampiric and extremely destructive. And according to the Gnostics, they could not, they can't create nature or life as we know it. They can only feed off of it. So that would also make sense because everything in this realm is food for something else.
Yeah, absolutely. The way that they are able to do a lot of this, especially with the mind control on the individual level, is through the astrology, through the dominant energy that is affects life forms. So the Gnostic texts tell us that the Archons created the solar system, not the Earth, the Sun, or the Moon, but the other planets, and basically they were given that divine information on how to do that and how to put that in place. So when they started arranging the system and putting planets wherever and the types of orbits, then they therefore have a lot of power and control over how things are going to go, how that's going to affect people. For example, to today specifically, the negative aspect presses issues about safety and security and loss and assurance. And on the positive side of that, we can come into beauty, feeling secure with ourselves, secure in the world. We can go that way with it. So when we understand that there is actually, electromagnetic effects happening that it allow them to infiltrate or get in, intrude on in our mind, we can start to prevent that from happening. And that's what my goal is, because that there are ways that it makes it easier for them when there are certain astrological aspects, when there are aspects with the black moon, which is a lot of what my work is about. The black moon is our shadow side. It's the part in our chart that identifies what our core fear is and what our downfall in life is. And so when we learn what that is, they archonic forces are less able to influence us that way. We understand, how we are most vulnerable, and it gives us a way to defend ourselves, really. And empowerment is really what the goal is with this, is how can we prevent this from happening and stop it?
Let's continue with the idea of the shadow and the black moon, because I was reading your book today and finding that I was having some epiphanies that I had not had because energetically, you talk about the planet that was here, which some call Tiamat, and that it remains here energetically. And, of course, in the permanent Akashic records, I would guess. But the energy of that planet would still be operational. So I'm just kind of delving into this right now. Maybe you can help us with a little bit of information from your book.
Sure. Well, epiphanies are good, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I love them. They're too few and far between, but when they happen, they're great.
Sometimes the epiphany that accompanies a revelation about our shadow is a little bit difficult to swallow. So it sounds like yours went okay. Energy is never destroyed. The vortex, the point in space where that planet was, it's the cohesion of its energy is intact, and has dramatic effects. In fact, the ability to track it and calculate how it will affect somebody to the day is encoded in that information. So the black moon, the shadow side, yes, is that part of us that's unknown. So we didn't even really know that was there, and it was affecting us. And so many people, astrologers, non-astrologers, when they start to learn about their shadow side, then they can see how it's affected them, and we can look at a chart and go back and see, when it was affecting them at times in the past, and how that carried forward in other transits. You can see how that energy works on you. But it's hard to do because it's unconscious. It's not something that we really have a very good grip on personally, because it's the part of us that we really don't want to acknowledge. We all have it. It's it's that part of us that feels disconnected from spirit or from source. And that's really what we're working on here, because that's really how, the negativity intrudes and affects us. It's when we really don't know what's going on. So the more that we're aware of, the better off it will be, and the easier it'll be for us to handle that, and we can make better choices. The shadow side, it has so much influence on our daily lives, and when we can learn about what that is, for each of us personally, we can begin to take power and control back for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And it's connected to the the desire for self gratification and for survival, which is an instinct that some say was implanted here during one of the great extinction events, in order to help humans have some kind of sense that they can survive through these various events, one of them being the catastrophe that occurred so many hundreds of thousands of years ago, the Great Deluge of Water. Mm-hmm. And I think we've been through four or five of them already. And it was impossible to remove that ego implant or survival mode aspect. And it continues to drive us through fear, which is then fueled through the subconscious, which is where all of this operates, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that, that instinct is that core instinct is the spark of life. It's what keeps us going. It keeps us in love with life. But what's happened is it's been distorted. It's been turned into something that it isn't. It's been turned in that way through religions and misinformation and patriarchal systems and belief systems that have been put upon us that are lies, that are just all out lies. Mm-hmm. Because basically everything we thought was true is the complete opposite of that is true, and that's what we learn.
Right.
You basically can just go to the exact opposite of anything that's really being pushed in the mainstream. So, those human animalistic instincts are part of who we are, and they make us create. It's what drives us to, create beautiful things and forms, and that's what the beauty of humanity is its power to create. And so it's not something that we want to, you know, banish or get rid of or master even. It's something we integrate and appreciate about ourselves and channel in appropriate ways. But it's been channeled through social engineering to be turned into violence and perpetuated with violence against other people.
Right, and the controlling forces seem to have their managers in place who they pretty much installed here outside of our awareness and dimension, because they can operate outside of our time frame. So setting up royal families and bloodlines that continue on carrying on the agenda seems that, like it would be a very easy thing to do.
Yeah, it has been rather easy, but, you know, that's changing now, isn't it? Because it's really not that easy anymore, because there's an awakening that's happening that is from the very core of our planet and the consciousness of our planet that is joining with us to deal with the issue. You know, things are changing. I think within 2 years, maybe less, the term Archon will be known by everybody. Now, everyone might not believe in it or, you know, understand it, but it will be a common term that's out there. You can see that happening already. There's a reason for that, you know, that this is purposeful in what is happening here, and so it's cause for it, people to have a great deal of hope. And so it's always a challenge for me to talk about the things I talk about, with the world situation geopolitically and all of that, but also individually with the shadow side, because, you know, it seems like such dark information, but it's information, it's light, and we can gain wisdom from it and then therefore make changes. You know, one of the things with the Pluto-Uranus is that we were talking about earlier, if you can't change right now, you're going to have some trouble, and that just is, it's just the way it is right now, and it's, you know, it's an evolutionary step right now, and it requires us to be flexible and to change, and we have to do that.
Right. I'm experiencing that in my own life, and I see that all around me in those who are here, and many people are cycling off at this time and choosing to, you know, choosing the illusion of death to continue on however their path continues.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's very true, and I think we're going to see an acceleration of that. I was just talking with someone about that yesterday, actually. That I think is part of it. That's the way, you know, these things happen. But for us, you know, to see that, that's sad and painful when it's people that we care about, and it's, you know, part of the difficulty and of living right now. But my gosh, what an amazing time to be alive, to be participating in a drama, a grand drama of this scale. You know, our habitat is a divine being. You know, there aren't probably very many species out there that can say that.
Right.
And we forget, you know, the beauty that is all around us all the time. So that's one of the things I always try to do is bring that back and keep us grounded in nature, because that's what keeps us sane in the time of insanity. We connect with beauty that's all around us in the natural world, and that's what gets us by.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've had to work through and continue to have to work through in nature, I live out in the country, but we still have enormous chemtrail programs spraying overhead, and no sooner do I start relaxing into the nature elements and spirits than I look up and see the destruction that apparently is going on without our consent. And of course, it has to be happening with our consent at some level. Just the fact that it's going on and we see it and we remain in denial about it is an aspect of consent, uninformed consent.
Right. When you see the chemtrails, how do you feel? What does that do to you?
It feels like an alien invasion. and that it is something that is not a natural element, something that is how do I want to put this? Being done without consent for an agenda that I don't agree with, just like, you know, the things like GMO food and fluoride and the rest of it. You know, there are probably thousands of these implants or programs running from various sectors that live here, designed to work at the same levels, which all seem to be degrading the biology and our natural organic life forms.
Absolutely, yes. And so, you know, oftentimes when we first learn about chemtrails or any, you know, other than any of these things, you know, we get angry, rightfully so, and that's the proper response, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And as that progresses, because the chemtrail thing, that used to be the thing that would really get me riled up. That was made me angrier than any of the rest of it, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, now it's like I acknowledge them when I see them. I, you know, acknowledge that they're there. Mentally, you know, I put out there, I don't condone this, you know. But
right.
I think we all have to come to the awareness and an agreement this is not going to be this way forever.
Right.
This is in play. This is all a process that's happening, and this is going to change. Everybody's going to know about chemtrails soon too. I mean, this is the veil is just being lifted off of all of this. The shadow is up, you know, coming up off all of this. There's another astrological reason for this awakening that is going to play out over the next year. And it, as you were talking about when we started, you know, what do we see coming up? Well, in astrology, the new year begins with the new moon in Aries. And I talked a lot about this last month because April 10th began the new moon in Aries. So it began the new year. Well, a really amazing, unique thing happened at that time. The new moon was conjunct the planet Eris and also Mars and Venus. But what that does, that energy that is in place where the planets are at a new moon in Aries, the first new moon in Aries, the first new moon of the new year, it sets the tone and it plants seeds of intention that can be worked with throughout the year, one whole year, calendar year from that new moon. So what does that mean? What does it mean the new moon was conjunct Eris and the other two planets also? Well, Eris is a really special and interesting planet because, well, it's a dwarf planet. You know, it's been named that. It looks like it really may be much, much bigger than anyone thought, possibly. However, that's a different story. But the Eris energy, the archetypal energy that goes along with this planet, and so that would mean how that planet was coded when it was created, is the favorite planet of the Illuminati, therefore the Archons, to try to manipulate and control for their purposes, because it's raw power, it's raw feminine power. The goddess Eris, they named these planets purposefully. You know, it's a core group that names them. They name them for a reason. Eris was the goddess of strife and chaos. But when you track back and you see what other feminine energies and archetypes and names that she had historically, you get a fuller picture. This is the energy of the Statue of Liberty, if you could just put it in, you know, one term. It's the energy that is the queen of magic. She's the queen of the underworld, and she has immense power, and she can do a lot of things, especially things that are warlike and can cause chaos. And so we know that they create order out of chaos. And so with this new energy for a brand new year, it not only was the new moon conjunct Eris, it was at the Eris point, so it was the point in the sky where the planet was first discovered. So it's a big deal. And what it means is that for a whole year, the seeds and intentions, the spells, if you will, what were put in place at that time, any kind of rituals that were done, have power that can be carried forward, and they'll carry forward those plans. The Boston bombings happened under that energy. And so it's the energy of terror and war and aggression. Israel also, you know, with Syria, with all of that. They don't have to do much. You don't have to do a whole lot even to seed an intention. You can do a whole lot 6 months down the road, you know, when you down in October or, you know, later on. You can carry it forward. But if you put it in place at that new moon in Aries, you've got something to work with there that's very, very powerful. And that's why we're going to see a lot of things happening and a lot of things changing over the next year.
Oh. And now you're talking about the powers that be that are running false flag events and so on and kind of playing in the matrix?
Right.
Right, right. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Right. So, yeah, because there's power in that to try and control. They love to try and control feminine power to turn it towards destructive purposes because it's raw and it's, you know, very instinctual and like we were talking about. It can do a lot of things. And so if you do something during the under that energy, you have something to work with later. This will play out. We're going to see events. The issues related to freedom. The Aries energy does not like to be restricted and bound in any way. And so you can take things to a very deep level. So that is one of the reasons why the time is now, because it was the perfect opportunity, and they're never going to let an opportunity like that go
waste. Oh, right, right. Right, that makes perfect sense. Yes, it feels definitely like there's a, at least at this level, 3D and above, that and probably all the way, all the dimensions, if you want to use that as an analogy, that there are battles going on that are designed to, on one side, the conservative forces to stagnate and control and destroy, and on the other side, you know, to become free and express and create. So this seems like it's going to continue ramping up over this year. And, of course, we have the third conjunct aspect of this May 20th experience in November, right?
Right, right.
November.
Yeah, because we're having the energy of the eclipses also in there. And, you know, but this is happening. Why would anyone pull out the stops now? Well, when they were about to probably fall. You know, you're going to pull out the stops when it's the basically that your game is up. And all of those astrological factors are contributing to that. And what we can see as a counter to that, what's rising in people, is awareness and an upgrade to our personal energetic frequencies, because that's what happened along with, for us, each individual person at that Aries new moon also. It was an upgrade to the system, which basically just means that we're able to process more information.
Mm-hmm.
More, because it's light, basically what the upgrade is light coming into the planet, and which activates more light in us, more information in us. We're able to take in more information, understand things more, and that's why things are happening so fast,
mm-hmm.
with people understanding and seeing what's going on, because we're able to process more. That's hard also, because it puts us, we have to adjust to that, and so it can be a little bit weird when we are trying to get used to what that feels like. It produces a lot of anxiety in the body, shaking, headaches and body aches and things like that until we kind of adjust to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a beautiful thing that's happening. You know, people, we see all the darkness that's happening, but there is just as much light rising with this that we attach to. And if, you know, anyone who's been awake, so to speak, for a few years can see how that has happened and how it has progressed, you
mm-hmm.
know, because, I mean, who would have ever thought that as many people would know about chemtrails as they do now, right?
Right.
It's kind of, you know, more people can talk about that without it being, you know, the conspiracy aspect
right.
of it.
Right.
But we see this, and we have to remember that that this is an amazing time, and it's the time where we're getting into deeper connection with the planet and understanding what it means to be connected, symbiotic, with the divine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that's had a lot of interference between our with being fragmented or being reinforced that we're just, you know, a fragment and we're individuals and so on. We have become disconnected from the interconnectedness of all things. And then the electronic smog that goes around us has further increased that disconnect, and television and cell phones and cell towers and psychotronic vibrations and so on and so forth. So do you see a shift? It doesn't look like people are going to give up cell phones, but perhaps there will be some kind of awakening in the sense that the way that phones communicate, it doesn't require cell phone towers.
Yes. Well, when people, as they come out of enslavement, because that's what we're doing.
Yes. Yes.
And fear, that's what enslaves us. That's how we are enslaved, is through our fear and our feeling of separation from source.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lies that, you know, have been perpetrated, the fact that we are disconnected from the planet, you know, and the whole story of who the planet really is. That will free up creative energy where people will find other technologies. But, I'm of the belief that there isn't anything that the human mind can't fix, and especially in collaboration with the planet. Nuclear issues. This all of these things can be rectified because we're powerful. We don't realize that, but we are. That's really what this is about, is for us to be tricked into thinking we aren't powerful, into giving that power over to someone else through false belief systems. And so I see that there isn't anything that we can't fix with this, and we don't even need anyone else. We don't need help from, other races, extraterrestrial races. We don't have to have that. I believe we have to get back to the idea that we're powerful and that we're connected with the planet and can accomplish anything and can create anything to make the experience the way we want it to be.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and also that the technology is inner technology, that we can develop our inner technology because we're designed to do it, and all of the DNA and the right switches are inside of us. It's just a matter of, aligning with the highest within us and allowing those switches to turn on. We don't need the technology of things that mimic organic systems, telepathy, psychic abilities, bilocation, parallel worlds, the travel, and so on and so forth. And maybe this limitation is forcing us to pop outside the box in the reality that, because many of us understand that there already exists the technology that's been kept secret and held in corporate military hands and political hands. That is hundreds of years ahead of us. There's a whole civilization that's been created without our consent or knowledge. So perhaps we will be developing that technology, the technology that doesn't require all of the constructs and the widgets and gadgets that may have been reverse engineered or stolen from Tesla, wherever they came from. It doesn't matter. We have that ability and that power within us to create.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you there. And, we have been under pressure, we've been under a pressure of force.
Right.
So,
right.
And you know, that's going to come out. The Secret Space Program, I mean, that's going to come out. Now, and it's an interesting thing to talk about because, you know, there's a lot of discussion about disclosure right now with the citizens' hearings this last week.
Right.
And that is very interesting to me to watch because there's a trick in play with it. It's really the final card, and it would be the way that they would, you know, that would be the last way that they would undertake control, would be partial disclosure of who they are, you know, the Archons. And when we say that, we mean the Reptilians and the Greys. And mm-hmm. so that is going to be controlled. Of course, they're going to control how, they're going to try to control that disclosure and how that comes about. And it seems like it's going to be about, oh, poor humanity, you little beings, you can't take care of yourselves and you're a danger to everyone around you, you know, in your universe and all. And I don't believe that, and I don't agree with that.
I don't either.
And that's anything that is designed or attempts to take our power and control, we should automatically disagree with and, you know, understand what is happening.
Yes.
And so this, if we are getting close to the time when, you know, they're going to start talking about that, of course, you know, they're not going to talk about the Secret Space Program. They may have to, you know, divulge a little bit of that, but you know, just a little bit of that alone coming out is going to make a big change. We have to be really wise, and we have to try to use our own inner judgment, you know, our own discernment to filter through what we're going to be shown over the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that requires us to remember that we hold the power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I know one of my guests, George Gavassilis, talks a lot about the false god and false light constructs which operate here, and how various galactic civilizations are, and the reptilians have manufactured bodies that look like bodies of light. And they spent many thousands of years developing the genetics to be able to have a body that looks like a beautiful, glowing, telepathic body of love. And the same thing with the Ascended Masters and so on. So a lot of the channeled information that I see, which I don't buy anymore for the most part, has a condescending tone to it, as if we are just, you know, we're just babies, and they're going to help us, and they're going to take care of us, and we know what the MO is, and that is for an extraterrestrial to arrive and have the local inhabitants fall on their knees and worship them, because the technology is not comprehended, and it looks like magic and looks like a god. And so this has been going on since the beginning of the time, and the demigods are ruling, Jehovah and Yahweh and all the religious gods that are, you know, bandied about are all, to me, false light creations. So I'm with you on the idea that if we align with nature, that we are aligning with the goddess, and there's a reason why the patriarchy has been suppressing the feminine side and the goddess side for so many thousands of years. And I'm sure that there's a great deal of fear about what will be found out about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the big secret. The big secret is the goddess, is Gaia Sophia, is the planet, is the fact that she is a divine being that we live on and that we are in co-communication with. Satan comes as a man of peace, and so that if I take anything from biblical material, that is a good one, because mm-hmm. someone will present, and that's how, you know, that's how a lot of Illuminati are tricked as well. You know, they
right.
perhaps are, you know, believing that they are service to others, but really are service to self, and are, you know, enthralled into that, you know, as far as it's whatever that inorganic being is presented as, presenting themselves as. But that's getting back to the planet and grounding with the planet is the answer. And so, you know, we talk a lot about ascension and you know, fifth dimension and things like that. To me, it's descension, because I believe that really our or evolution really happens down and through the planet and not out and or up and out. To me, it's more of a process of down and out and going inside and then therefore connecting with the inside of the planet. And that's how the planet communicates with us, is through nature, is through the ground and the animals and everything, the insects. That's where we always should go. This, we have now, we were, you know, as I was talking about, we have this upgrade and all this light, this energy that's coming in that helps us with to turn on all of that deactivated or inactive DNA to build our awareness. And part of what happens with that is we learn to communicate spiritually more directly and more effectively and more clearly. And the more we do that, the better, you know, the more we try to do that and the more we intend to do that, the better it works for us. But the planet's fully awake now and engaged, and we're all participating in this. And that's when things get difficult, that's where we have to turn to. I always try to reiterate that. I think you can't say it enough.
Well, especially as the tricksters start to roll out the new and improved tricks, we're going to have to be present and on the ball, those of us who are aware of all of this stuff. And I know one of the programs that I've heard about was the false alien invasion is one potential that could be rolled out using holograms. You know, if there are technologies which can shred two buildings in a matter of minutes from some other location, which is what appears to be happening, and then cover it up for all these years, I think that will eventually come out, and we should be able to know all that has happened here that we can learn about, and that includes going into the past and the archives in the Vatican and the various other places that are holding sacred and metaphysical information that is not favorably inclined towards those organizations.
Well, yeah, absolutely, because they have the knowledge. You know, they have whatever was left over in Alexandria and whatever the Knights Templar brought back, and they even talk about it within their circles, within the elite banking circles, the high-level ones that are, you know, at that level, they're all occultists. But they talk about their communication. They call her Gaia. They may call her Sophia as well, because that is what the Gnostics call them. I'm sure they have a lot of Gnostic texts. And, you know, the greatest thing that happened to us, I believe, is that those texts were discovered, the Nakamani texts. And then, of course, you know, we are forever indebted to John Lash for his interpretation and bringing those to us.
Yes. That was an eye-opening book that he wrote, and I still get communications through him, which I find very valuable.
That could be, you know, the most important book. I wouldn't even know how to say what the time frame on that would be, because, you know, when you read the myth, when you read what the Gnostics left us, because they were the pagans of the world. It wasn't that they were concentrated. And, you know, that's another thing that we're going to see happening, and I've already seen that happening, is twisting, distorting what the texts actually say, and then and how they tie that into that they were a sect of Christians. And you know, there's a lot of distortion around that. Not about the Gnostics, you know. People don't understand right now that they were, you know, decimated across the world, that they were all talking about the same thing all over the world. Everyone knew the story that the planet, you know, was a goddess, a divine being who was so enthralled with her creation that she actually became part of it. And so that story, the Archons don't want that story out, because when you start, you know, when you realize that you are, you know, part of the system with the planet and who the planet is, really the game is over then, because, you know, you don't see life the same way. When people read what John Lash has written, when they read the story of the fall of the wisdom goddess, they resonate with it. And it seems to just tie everything up, all of the unanswered questions and things that we've been thinking about, you know, for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's all right there.
That book, by the way, I just remember the name of it. Isn't that called Not in His Image?
Correct, yes.
Good, yeah. He came on the show once or twice, I think, and we had a good chat. He's a lot of fun to talk to, and so, yes.
We owe him so, so much.
Yes, I agree. I agree. So do you think that some of these false start groups that are pushing for various alien kinds of intrusions into the biology, for instance, the scientists that are pushing for the event horizon, which they say is a moment when artificial intelligence will completely take over all human endeavors. And then there's another group of scientists that kind of tie into that with eugenics that are working, it seems like, full speed ahead to transplant or transfer the brain of somebody into a partially biological unit. And then it goes through steps, and eventually it receives an improved artificial unit to transform or transfer the consciousness of people into an eternally living virtual reality. So do you see all of these timelines as things that will be resolved in the coming future, that, you know, all of these pushes to take over and control humanity, they need people to participate in them? Or is this a matter of it's free choice and whoever wants to do that is free to do it?
Yeah, the transhumanism, the eugenics, and all of that, the event horizon that you're speaking of, how archontic could you possibly get?
Yeah, right. You couldn't get much more that way.
Yeah, you really couldn't. It's just not going to happen. We aren't going to get to that stage because we are directly engaged right now in changing that. That's what's happening this year. It's, you know, I termed it the strike point that started in April, and
okay.
Basically this is now the clash. You know, it's really not the best term to use, like a clash or a strike, because it's a warlike, and it's not bad. We're not at battle. You know, it isn't that. It's just it's a wave. It's a wave rising. Which wave is going to be higher? And it's the wave of freedom, and that's
yes.
Not going to be stopped. That there's just, you can just see, you know, you could just look at the equation of how many people have awakened in the past year, just in the past
mm-hmm.
year, just in the past 3 months, just since April with the Boston bombings. How many people woke up with that? They just aren't going to get to that point. The planet isn't going to allow that, and
right.
I don't believe
right.
we are either.
And according to Gnostic tradition, Sophia has the last card. She's holding the trump card. So, and I don't think she has played them yet. That's my sense of it. That that's all kind of starting to come into play now. And
yes, I think so too. And
yeah,
that's what's happening with this upgrade and with people awakening and people learning and getting on board and learning more about this. That's how it's going to go, and it'll be forever changed from that.
And that's
why people should don't need, you know, it's depressing, and it can really drag you down, and some people, you know, have a hard time just handling seeing the ugliness that's all around. And we don't need to be upset that it's always going to be like this or that it's over, because it's not. It's just begun.
Right. And this is a short transition. It will not be anything that we can't endure. And after all, those many of us that have been looking at this stuff for 30, 40, 50 years or more, we're maybe a little bit inundated with looking at it for so long, and how can humanity remain so dumbed down and unconscious? But as you said, there's an enormous wave of light coming through, and it's been here. And it seems as if it's just kind of sparking, and, you know, one person unites and sparks, and another one gets it, and it's you know, turning into the 100th monkey effect.
So, yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I'm with you on the idea that I think there will be a large shift. There will be many shifts and waves, but there will be a large one that may include going through some kind of black hole event where, you know, that which is not part of the higher frequency simply cannot traverse. Kind of a ring pass knot that if the frequency is low and it has to do with control and manipulation and coercion and murder and rape and pillage and pedophilia and the rest of it, that it's not going to be a vibration that can pass through into a higher reality. And I think we're already there.
Yeah, I do too. And it's just not going to be tolerated.
Mm-hmm.
And what I believe that process is, it enfolds on itself, and we therefore are at a different place. It reminds me in the Frank Herbert book, Dune, when they would travel. Do you remember that book?
Yeah, I loved it.
And how they would, they had took the spice, and then they're, you know, that being would kind of fold them into a new space. So, yeah, I think that's exactly the way it is.
Well, you know, if you think about it, we're just a breath away from a near-death experience, because the second somebody who's had a near-death experience leaves the body still lives, but they are already in perfect form, often viewing the body from, you know, a higher perspective or, you know, traveling to another place. So transformation is instantaneous. And it could be, like some people say, that Gaia Sophia has left the building already, that she's already in a higher dimension. And it could be that her body and ours remain here, and that we're uniting on a higher plane, and that the actual shift will feel like a blinking of an eye, literally.
Well, yeah. I thought when the Mayan calendar ended, and I was a proponent of it ending in 2011, but I thought time would kind of ease out. I don't see that happening.
No. I mean, I saw the same thing, and it didn't happen here either, but it might play out over a period of, you know, decades or hundreds of years or thousands of years. I know Michael St. Clair wrote a wonderful book, Light Seeds, and he takes the astrology into 2500 and so on and so forth. So I'm not sure how the planets will align in the future, but I think we have to be present in the moment now.
Yes, and you know, my site at the Oracle Report, that's the intention of that. I'll tell you what the energy is and what the potential for the trick is that could trip you up for your day, and so you can navigate around that. And that is one of the ways we can facilitate the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I read it every day, and why I recommend people check it out every day. I don't have Facebook and Twitter, but you can catch it there. Or you can just go to www.theoraclereport, and it always changes my day for the positive.
Well, I'm glad for that, and it is, you know, it basically is just based on the astrology, which, like I mentioned when we started, is a code. And so you don't have to know astrology. I think more people are going to start learning astrology. I think that's one thing we're going to see, because it's the empiricism behind it is borne out, and it'll help us with what we're doing if we know more
about
it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Laura, I'm going to make a brief announcement before we end the show, and then I'll come back to you, and we'll mention your site again. And if there's anything that closing thoughts that you'd like to share, please do. I wanted to announce that after 6 years of hosting this weekly internet show, tonight is the last night I'm going to be having a formal weekly guest. A fireside chat will continue as a weekly news-style report co-hosted with my friend Serena, the Lady of the Woods. For now, we're calling it Cosmic News Unchained. We'll be dissecting Earth's matrix-like constructs from a higher, multidimensional perspective with occasional surprise guests. Some guests will be submitting cutting-edge blurbs, which we'll share on the show. Our first beanbag event is next Saturday, so stay tuned. If you have any questions or comments, please email me directly at zanymystic59@yahoo.com. So, Laura, I can't thank you enough for being on tonight. And if you have any parting thoughts for all of us, and if you could mention your website and mention also your e-books are free and they're wonderful reads. I'm reading the one on the Black Moon now. It's a must read.
Oh, well, thanks. Well, I'm glad to be part of your last show of that genre. Was it a bonfire? Was it a big enough of a bonfire? I don't know. and you know,
tell.
Best of luck with that. I think that'll be great. That sounds your new adventure there. The site oraclereport.com and mahavidyaproject.com is my secondary site. My books are free for free download. My book on Eris is written for anybody. The book on the Black Moon has a lot of astrology in it, although you don't need to be an astrologer to get something out of it. And they're there for anyone who's interested.
Wonderful. Well, Laura, it's been a delight talking to you tonight, and I look forward to keeping in touch with you in the future and reading the Oracle Report and all of us sharing this wisdom and moving forward in freedom. Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much for being on tonight.
Thanks, Lance.
All right. Well, that's a wrap. Good night, everybody.